Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach. What if you didn't have to give up half your life or half your pay to love and enjoy your work again? Well, Tammy Alvarez is a CEO and founder of Career Winner Circle, and she has decades of C-suite experience on Wall Street and a spirited break-all-the-rules approach that she's going to share with us today so that you can create real impact and love Monday mornings again, all without giving anything up. Let's get started with today's conversation. Hi, Tammy. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Patricia. How are you?
I'm doing great now. It's going to be a really good conversation.
I've been looking forward to this all week. So I'm very, very excited that we finally have a chance to collaborate on this great podcast. I love this.
Let's start with your career story, because your career story is phenomenal. And I think that's what's going to get everyone's attention to listen into the rest of the episode.
Okay, that sounds great. I started my career earlier than most because I didn't go to college. I didn't get my college degree until I was 40. I grew up in a very, very poor family in northern New Jersey, and we didn't have money. I didn't have ambition. So I just decided that I was just going to go work and that I would work for a couple of years, get my life figured out, and then go back to school and do all that kind of fun stuff. And when I started my career, it was in staffing. I just kept getting promoted every year and a half or so. And the leader that I worked under was such an amazing mentor. He saw things in me that I didn't. And because I didn't have a college degree, I was fearless because I felt like I had nothing to lose and everything to prove. And so he just kept throwing me into these new situations, whether it's a new business unit or a new market or, you know, whatever it was. And I just jumped in and failed and figured it out. And, you know, so that process really just kept me going for about 10 years when I was in that industry. And once that industry really started to kick in, I moved into tech. And so that was during, I'm going to age myself here, sorry. but that was like during the Y2K.com craziness. And so I jumped into the tech sector and loved that as well. So I kept getting promoted, kept getting more responsibility. And that's when I relocated to the New York metro area and really started to serve Wall Street from the outside in, from a tech services perspective. And I loved it because the Wall Street guys were such jerks. And it just really served me because it was, my personality is a little bit aggressive, not assertive like we're told to say as women. And I just love the pace and the intensity and all that stuff. All of that was killing it until everything fell out from the bottom. Right. So Y2K was done. The world was still standing. Yeah. The .com turned into .bomb. And like, it was just a disaster. And I got very bored because the industry became really commoditized. And a client from Bank of America recruited me in. And so I started working for him doing a job I had no business doing. And that's really the theme of my career is I end up in these positions where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I got here.
We're
going to figure it out. And I made a move into an organization that was decentralized. It was a 5,000 person infrastructure team. And it was all decentralized. And my first job, I was 2 months in, was to reorg 5,000 people and move from a decentralized organization to a centralized organization, which no one wanted, because then you don't have the custom tools and toys that you used to have. And that was my first foray into Wall Street. Loved it, thrived, you know, made some mistakes and had some really epic wins and built a really strong organization. And I spent the next 20 years on Wall Street. I ultimately became a C-level executive. So I've managed teams of 2,000 people across 36 countries. I've got patents on things that would bore you to death. But my entire career, I became known as a transformation expert. And so when people were running out of that burning building, I and my team were running in. And fortunately, in financial services, something is always on fire. So I was never bored. And we just kept growing, doing new things. And I ended up working in areas, everything from sales, front office, to audit, and everything in between, because I have this low attention span. So as soon as I get bored, I have to change. And I would just continue to do that. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for something new. So about every 12 to 18 months, I was into something different. And then another big pivot, which brings us to have this conversation today, is about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago now, I remember sitting in the boardroom as clear as day. And we had just finished an earnings call. We had gotten our asses kicked again because we missed earnings. And like, you know, it was just the normal craziness where everybody's blaming each other, you know, it's all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I used to love it. And I remember sitting there at the table, and it was kind of like one of those out-of-body experiences that you see on the movies where you're floating, but you're not really there. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care. I could care less about any of this. And so this apathy started to settle in for the first time. Mm. And that's when I knew it was time to make a very, very large change. And so about a few months later, I ended up cashing out of Wall Street, moving to a tropical island in Central America off the coast of Belize, and started this coaching company. And it was probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done in my entire life, because I had no idea how to be an entrepreneur. And the whole process was just relearning how to learn. I had gotten bored. I had seen everything. I had, you know, there was nothing new anymore. And so I was about 10 years into like, oh, I haven't learned anything really new in a while. And so the last 6 years have been just an amazing, you know, experience in terms of going from solopreneur to a bigger firm and growing a company and not just having a commercially viable side hustle. Mm. And that's where we are today.
Oh my goodness. You have covered almost every facet of a career journey. When people talk about, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side of X, right? You have been on the other side of a career transition, a career pivot over and over and over again. So many directions we can take this. But one of the questions I would want to ask you is, for you, what is the highlight? Like when you look back at your career, what do you consider as like, oh, this is one of my really proud moments?
I think the highlight for me is the legacy of leaders I've left behind. Mm. The work comes and goes, and there is some really epic work and some, you know, some great stories. And we can certainly dig into a few of those that are just like, holy crap, that was exciting, terrifying, and all the things. But when I look at the leaders that I helped grow and develop, and I've had the good fortune of having amazing mentors in my career, and being able to do that to other people and seeing what they're doing now, mm-hmm. and the companies that they've started or the big divisions that they're leading in corporate America. For me, that is my ultimate, like, yep, this was all worth it. You know, I think one of my biggest, you know, career stories, like one of your, you know, top 10 moments, I was working for a large bank. And we were in the middle of a very, very large transition. And I was in charge of basically trying to keep our non-US people out of jail. It was right during the financial crisis and like everyone was hot. And so I'm in the office of a very senior person and we are literally screaming at each other because I need something done in the EU that he didn't want his team to do. So the natural way you communicate is by screaming. That's just, you know, how it was. And so we're in this cage match. I'm feeling completely outmatched. He's like four levels above me and I'm showing up like I own the joint and I'm getting my nose swatted every minute of this, but I'm not backing down. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and his admin puts through the call. He puts it on speakerphone and the person on the other end of the phone was John McCain, the presidential candidate.
I was going to say, explain to
people. It was the day after the presidential election or the presidential, the first debate. And essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but the conversation was basically like, hey, dude, how'd I do last night? And I was like, what am I doing here? This is a guy who's advising who could potentially be our next president. So
don't yell at the guy who knows.
No. This is like a guy who's advising a potential president. And, you know, so obviously there was no way I could not be dumbstruck. I'm sure it was a bit of a power play on his part, right? So they, oh, look who I'm talking to, which worked. And so we continued our fight after they hung up. I lost and I went to my boss's office. And, you know, I'm pacing like a lunatic and I'm like, why am I here? I'm surrounded by all these people who like are legal and compliance and they're experts. I, you know, I'm so out of my depth. I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here. And so she let me rant for a bit. And then she started laughing at me because that's what she would do. And that calmed me down a little bit. And she said something that never has left my mind. And I wish I had learned this earlier because I was always over my skis with the imposter syndrome and all that stuff. And she's like, you are here because you're not part of the problem. You are here because you're different. You are here because you are willing to challenge and take risks and be accountable. And so that was the very first time in my career that it occurred to me that being different is a competitive advantage. not give me a chance, you know, because I don't know what I'm doing. It's, but because I'm not like everyone else, that's why you need me even more. And had I known that earlier in my career, I mean, I accomplished so much that I'm proud of, but that would have just changed my trajectory significantly. And that's a lot of what we do with our clients is help them leverage, not, you know, not take a chance on me. I've not done this before as a senior leader, but because I don't look like all your other ones and didn't come through the ranks like they did and think differently, now I'm an asset. And I'm a highly valuable asset. And so that was one of my bigger aha moments, you know, in my career that was a bit memorable, shall we say.
Absolutely. That was memorable. And that, you know, that walks us straight into something that I'm just dying to ask you about, right? Basically what you did, yelling at someone who's the advisor, right? Like what you did is you broke this rule that typically people are like, oh, you don't do that. Don't rock the boat. Stay in your lane. Like there's so many, you know, little analogies and little metaphors that I could use, right? But in a sense, you're breaking the mold. You're breaking what's expected. You're breaking the rules. And that is part of your competitive edge. So tell us a little bit about breaking all the rules in your career and why that's a good thing.
Yeah. And that is one of our things, right? I've always been a natural rule breaker. I do believe the rules apply to everyone but me and have since I was little. So that's continued throughout my adult life. And here's where people get stuck. And it just makes me, I don't know if it's angry, sad, I don't know what it is, but it's a strong emotion when I see people get hung up with this stuff. And, you know, there's the first rule that we believe, and I don't even think we consciously consider it, but these things are so ingrained into how things are that we don't know to challenge them. And the very first rule that I think people need to know to break is that loving every Monday is not a pipe dream. Right? And if you don't wake up fired up on Monday, excited to do whatever it is you do, change it. And so many people think that's not really how it works. No one really loves their job. You know, it's only for a few. It can't, you know. And so that limiting belief alone, that rule in terms of no one really loves their job, so suck it up, buttercup, make your money and have fun elsewhere, is crap.
It's absolute crap. It keeps, I feel like it's a cage that we put ourselves in, right? And even once we have experience and all these skills and the door is open, we won't come out of it.
Right. Now. Yeah. And so when you realize that when you step into a thriving career that energizes you, that your entire life becomes more expansive. Oh, I've not found anyone who can compartmentalize this. If your job sucks, your life sucks. If your job's awesome, your life's awesome. Maybe not to the same degree, but you are not, it's just too much of a part of where we spend our time, what we think about, how we identify. And so to have that be less than fulfilling, it makes no sense. And when you think about your career, there are moments that everything clicked. You're with the right people. You're doing the right work. You're excited. You're getting stuff done. You're having fun. And so if you can have that in a moment, whether that's a project, a specific job, then why don't you believe that you can have it all the time? And so that's the first rule, because once you break that, once you realize that it's not a luxury to love your job, it's a necessity, then all the other rules become easy. Because now you don't settle for status quo anymore. And now you're not like, oh, that's reserved for other people. It's like, no, I'm not going to compromise. It has too much of an impact on my overall well-being.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, I am going to make sure that I advocate for myself and do what I need to do to make sure that I'm stepping into all the time growth, thriving, and in a cultural environment that really energizes me. And so that's the first rule in terms of just get that out of your head that it's a nice to have and start to really think about this is how life has to be and don't compromise until you get there.
Oh, I love that. I feel like we're just constantly stuck on survival. It's tied to, oh, I can't make a certain amount of money if I'm not in this specific position. I'm going to, you know, have to start all over. I hear that all the time. I'm going to have to start all over. So thank you for breaking that down. So it's you break all the rules. So what's the next one?
Okay. So the next thing, I think the next biggest thing that holds people back, and you just touched on it just a minute ago, so thanks for the tee up on that, is the belief and the worry that you have to give up what you've worked for and take a step back if you want to make a change. especially as a mid-to-senior level leader. And the reason people think this way is because if you do it wrong, it happens. But if you do it right, it never happens. And so the concept of, okay, I've done this career because maybe that's what you went to school for. Maybe that's what you're expected to do from your friends and family. It's just the I call it the accidental career. No one really plans their career. They just start.
Yeah.
Things, opportunities come, you take advantage of them or you don't, and then you end up wherever you end up. So it's accidental. You're just kind of bumping around, making the best decisions you can. Mm-hmm. And so when we do that, which everyone does, myself included, you get to a point where you're like, this no longer serves me. Mm-hmm. But now I got a big fat paycheck. I'm able to make an impact. I've got tools, toys, and ex-spouses to pay for, and I cannot sell everything and live in a year and become a barista. So yeah. Now what do I do? And so that scarcity mindset that I'm going to have to lose something to be happy drives me nuts because it doesn't have to be that way. So when you start to realize that I can make a significant pivot, do something I've never done before, have more impact, more income, and more ability to grow, then when you believe that, because no one really does, then that's the next rule that you break, because that allows you to step into the confidence you need to really understand what it is that lights you up. Most people don't know, and then go make that happen.
Okay. Seriously, you just need to bottle this up. Okay. Because
it's in my book.
Oh, there you go. You know what? We're going to put the link to your book.
It's coming out this year. So it's all in there. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. We'll make sure and put that in the description, but it's so true. I mean, so many roles and positions I've helped other people get, I've heard of other people getting that it's the passion, the enthusiasm, the way that you frame your experience, the strategy with which you show up and the confidence in that strategy, that's really what helps other people trust in who you are as a professional and what you're able to bring. If you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe that you can do it, let's be honest, you probably can't. I mean, right? So this is where, you know, you ideally can work with someone who can help you to find that confidence, but also find those specific skill sets, those specific data points, the words to articulate your confidence, because you can be confident, but not articulate it very well.
You're absolutely right. And I always think, you know, if you don't believe it, how are you getting anybody else to?
Yes.
Right. You got to sell it to yourself first. And so that's sometimes the hardest customer to sell is yourself, to say, yeah, I think I can really do this. And it ties back to what I was talking about in terms of that lesson that I learned in terms of, because I'm different, I'm better. I'm more valuable. I'm a higher asset. I can compete and win against senior leaders who have done this job for a decade. Because I'm different. Whereas most of our default is, we're wringing our hands, right? I've never done this before. I didn't actually do the work. My team did the work. I'm not an expert. And so, you know, you immediately start to disqualify yourself versus realizing what are the skills that you have that energize and light you up. Mm-hmm. And then looking for places within the market where those skills are in high demand and in short supply. Because when organizations grow up, they've got their core people and they continue to get promoted. And those people have a line of sight in terms of the environment they've led it. Mm-hmm. However, when there's massive turmoil, which when haven't we been under massive turmoil for the past 10 to 15 years, companies need to adapt and flex. And most often they do not have the talent inside to adjust to external market pressure because they've not had exposure to other areas. So when you bring somebody in from the outside that has perspectives that you need to compete and thrive that your team doesn't have, you become like liquid gold. And so those are the two scenarios. I'll give you one we talked about a little bit in my background, and then one from a client to just really drive home what I mean here. Mm-hmm. The reason I was able to make a move from professional staffing, you know, from technology staffing services into a bank, reorging 5,000 people, is because I had built an accidental career knowing how to oversee hundreds of technology people who serve multiple clients. I already had the model and I didn't know it because that's all I knew. But yet when you go into an organization that's decentralized They don't know how to run a consulting model because that's not what they know. So my ability to bring in those skills that I didn't even know were valuable to an organization that desperately needed it was a perfect match. Right. And so another, so I'll give you another example. You know, one of my corporate clients, you know, they have had the benefit of massive investments for years. And so every time there was a problem, just throw more money at it, hire more people. Nope. And so if you grew up in that structure, that's what you know. But then you go public, your competitors get their act together, start cleaning your clock, your stock price drops, and your investors are having a fit. Now you've got to learn how to grow through shrinking. You need to learn how to innovate with less. You need to understand how to move to a centralized model with a very, very, you know, strong level of, I like my toys and I'm going to keep them. And if you grew up in that company, you don't know how to do that. And so bringing people in from the outside to act as advisors to help drive, here's how you do this successfully is, you know, that's where you level up. So when you think about your skills that come naturally that you probably don't even appreciate you have, and you look for market opportunities where those are, those skills are in high demand and in short supply, that's how you win. And that's how you make that pivot. And you do that over and over and over again. Until you decide to move to a tropical island, and then you get to do what you want.
Absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So in all of that, you know, I heard a number of different principles, right? There's Tammy who breaks all the rules, but there's also some wisdom and some insight in everything you've just shared. If you were to summarize, you know, the top two or three principles that you think are most important for professionals, what might those be?
Always do what energizes you. Right. So that if you, you know, if you don't, if you are not spending the majority of your day doing the things that give you energy, then lean into the things that give you energy more. And when I say, what I mean that is like things that you can do for 12 hours a day and not get tired. We're good at a lot of things. We're energized by very few. So learn what those are and stay in that wheelhouse, right? Because when you do that, you're going to show up better. Second is play to your strengths. You've got to know what your strengths are and play to them where they're most needed. And so from that standpoint, we're so busy trying to fix all the crap we're bad at and all the self-help books and all the this. I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten good at it by now, you're never gonna. So stop trying. Find a different way to get those needs met and really play to your strengths in the areas that you're needed most. And then I think the third thing is that realizing that that fulfilling career and being able to thrive and grow on your own terms is not a, it's not a luxury item. It's a must have. And you shouldn't compromise from that ever. And so I think those are the three big pieces because they all fit together and they just give you that connection to be able to go from where you are in terms of the soul crushing grind and the slog and the, I wish, and if only, and to owning it. And at taking accountability and doing what you need to do for you right now to get where you want to go.
Oh, this is wonderful. This has been so great. So as we start wrapping up the episode, which we can go on and on and on.
You can definitely mind meld over this for a bit, right?
Yeah. I think so. I think so. And as we start to wrap up, one of the things that your career has led you to do is to start this amazing company that I recently became acquainted with. So you're the founder and owner of Career Winner Circle, where you help leaders love Mondays again. Tell us about Career Winner Circle.
Absolutely. So what we do here at Career Winner Circle is we empower business leaders to make a big impact and love every Monday again. So if you're a mid to senior level leader looking to make a career change, we can, you know, we got you, right? Absolutely. You are not going to take a step back. You're not going to turn into a barista. You're going to step into your brilliance, make more money, and love what you do. We also work with leaders, both from a corporate perspective as well as self-funded, you know, people who want to do that, who really need to up their leadership game. And good leaders are so rare right now that if you are a good leader, you should be stepping into a thriving career because you can call your shots wherever you want to go. And if you're not, it's time well spent to become one. So we work a lot on leadership development, high performing teams, things along those lines. And then we also have a business advisory practice where we help small business owners up to large corporates create high performing teams, focus on operational excellence, you know, get their sales performance up, all of the things that they need to run a thriving business. And so our careers, everybody has a career. So whether you're 2 years in, whether you own a company, we all have a career. So we have the tools, the resources, and the expert coaches to be able to lean in and help our clients get where they need to go, which is why I'm very excited because we have just recent this year, we're expanding our business and we're bringing on amazing coaches to help our clients on those journeys. And obviously, Patricia, you're part of the family now.
Surprise.
That's the big reveal for today.
There we go.
I'll let you fill that in a little bit more, but it's just so exciting to have such smart thought leaders to collaborate with as we continue to grow the business and serve our community.
And to be honest, what you're talking about right now, just having this group of professionals who cover different facets was one of the things that really appealed to me about Career Winner Circle. So you and I met not that long ago, and things have changed so much already, you know, with this entire facet of executive coaching. You know, when I first started, I was doing mainly career transition coaching. And now after meeting you, really gotten into just a lot of the strengths in executive coaching. And the thing I really love about Career Winner Circle is that when you come in, you might have one need, you might need to change your career, right? But you're not like left high and dry after that, right? After that, it's like, okay, now let's get you that promotion because you should get promoted every 2 years or less even. And so how do you set yourself up from the very first day you get to your position? What do you do in the first day, first week, first 90 days, first evaluation, right? How do you interact with the different and diverse and sometimes difficult personalities that you see in this new environment? And how do you make sure you don't inadvertently step into any political landmines? You know, how do you do all of that? How do you up-level and reinvent yourself when you go to a higher level of management, right? So all of that really appealed to me. And so I would love for you to share just a little bit more about Career Winner Circle as far as how we help folks through that career life cycle.
Absolutely. And that's what it is. It's a career life cycle. So many times when you need coaching or want coaching, right, to level up or whatever the case may be, you're given a point solution. It's like, I can help you with this bit of it. It's like, that's nice. That's good. But when you win, and when you reach your goal, now you have a whole nother group of options, you know, of opportunities, of obstacles, of all of these things. And so then what are you going to do? What we specifically did is we built an end-to-end solution for our clients, which is stacked with tools, processes, and coaches that can support, because we will have situations where you get handed off to a different expert. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, if a client comes in that is not sure where they're going to take their career, and they decide, you know what, I'm going to start my own business, then, you know, you may collaborate with a coach that's an expert in that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get started and, you know, you're in a leadership development role and you're looking to get promoted, but then you realize, oh, I don't actually want to get promoted here. I want to go find someplace else to do this great work. Then we can support you in that way. So whatever life throws at you, no matter how much, you know, there's always opportunity, there's always obstacles. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to have that wingman or wingwoman by your side to help you navigate and have the best outcome. You know, anytime you want to be able to move fast, to leverage the opportunities that you have in front of you and really be able to be much more purposeful about what you do, how you show up, and intentional for what you want next, then the faster you're going to move, the more success you'll see. And, you know, our clients are seeing, you know, a significant return on investment in terms of their coaching dollars spent, whether you're spending $1 million with us as a corporation or whether you're spending, you know, $3,000 with us as an individual, the return is significant. And the reason it is significant is because this, and you know me, Patricia, I am not airy fairy. I don't pretend to be. So this is steeped in pragmatism. This is steeped in, I have spent, you know, decades behind closed doors, seeing how things really work. And so many people don't have that perspective. And they wonder, I'm doing all the things the experts are telling me to do. Why isn't it working? I'm like, because they haven't been behind the doors. They don't know what really works. And so between the homework assignments that we give you to help you think through things, the amazing coaches that walk you through and help you get to your best self, and the advice. And I think that's really the key differentiator for us, is that that advice is coming from people who have sat in your chair, who have one, gotten their butts kicked, and everything in between, who can help you move faster because they've been there. And we share this information amongst the entire coaching community within CWC. So every coach benefits from, I think the last count was something like 560 years of coaching or of executive and management within the organization. And so that's a lot of horsepower to draw upon to be able to make sure that you have, I call myself, actually my clients call me their secret weapon. And, you know, because they're like, okay, I show up different because now I got the advice. Yeah. You're going to take your own way. You're going to have your own journey. But to know, like, very prescriptively, do this, don't do that. Right? Or if you do this, you are going to get your clock clean. So probably not a great idea. You know, that's really where you're able to help take your ideas, put some tried and true tested, you know, actions that you know will work because it's worked in the past for many others, and then, you know, create your own path forward.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I definitely appreciate
the opportunity,
your insight in that. And so again, we can go on forever, but to wrap things up, tell us where we can find you, how we can get in with a Career Winner Circle coach, how that works in terms of coach selection, all the good things. Your book?
Absolutely. So you can find us on LinkedIn, the Career Winner Circle, or Tammy Alvarez. Obviously, they all know you from LinkedIn too, I'm sure, Patricia, in terms of your listeners. And here's how it works. If you decide that you really are, you know, even if you're thinking about it after this conversation, you know, what you want to do is you want to go to careerwinnercircle.com and click that button that you'll find every inch of our website saying book a call. And you're going to talk to one of our onboarding experts who's really, really, really good at understanding where you are, where you want to be, and matching you with a coach that's really going to help you move as fast as possible. And that's based on personality, experience, you know, industry. There's all kinds of things that she uses in addition to her spidey senses to really make sure that you're aligned with a coach that's going to help you get the most out of it. And then you have that conversation with a coach to see, what would it feel like if we did this? What would it look like if we worked together? And what would I get out of it when we're done? You know, so all of these things are free. Also on the website, tons of free resources and things to lean into. So you can find us at careerwinnercircle.com, pretty much everywhere.
Beautiful.
Well, and the book. So
yeah. Yes. Oh, the book. Tell us about the book.
Exactly. So, so the book will be out end of this year. It's called Escaping the Career Trap. So obviously we'll put the show notes in where you can find it, where you can pre-order your copy and all that kind of fun stuff as well.
Exciting. Congratulations on writing that book and on starting such an awesome company.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. It's been such a delight just chatting with you and learning from your years of experience. So thank you again for hanging out with us today.
It was my pleasure. I'm so happy to have you as part of the team. And I'm just excited to continue to serve our clients and our communities together.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you everyone for sticking around with us. And again, head over to Career Winner Circle if you want to get some coaching from, you know, any one of us on the team. And we'll see you on the next one.
Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.